morning remembering what the content of the gospel is. To wait, what does it mean? And what does it matter? To live under the care of the Lord who is our shepherd, who preserves and governs those whose lives are hung upon a thread like a gossamer, who preserves and governs you and me. I know no better prod for our memory than the words of the 23rd Psalm. Of course, they are such familiar words that we fail to hear in them God's living and always surprising word to us. Therefore, I ask you to suspend disbelief for the next few minutes. Quiet the doubts by which you refuse the invitation to live in relationship to the love for which you were made. Imagine yourself, in spite of yourself, as a vulnerable child who is grasped, claimed, held, and found by the one who seeks and saves the lost. And one last help. If you are having trouble picturing the shepherd in these verses, substitute Jesus for every third person singular male pronoun. Then say with me, not because you believe, but in order to believe, say just this: the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. At the heart of this psalm is the gift of a relationship with the one who keeps you and accompanies you in life and in death. It is a relationship that rests not on human possibility and initiative, but rather, without any possibility on our side, God's great possibility comes into view. Notice that the psalmist does not begin with himself, or with his emotions, or his subjective feelings. He does not construct some reasonable argument for the possibility that there is a shepherd. He begins with the gift of a relationship on which everything he is and is about to say depends. There is a shepherd to whom he belongs. To belong to the shepherd means that from the beginning to the end, the psalmist is not alone. Means that from sunrise to the night watches, he is seen. His cries, his prayers are heard. He says this because it has been said to him by the community the shepherd has gathered for generations. Yet he says this for himself. It is the one true word on which his life depends, the relationship that alone is trustworthy. The psalmist could have trusted other truths he had been told. Trusted in the promises of kings and princes. Trusted in the potential of human beings for good. Trusted in his own reason or moral rectitude or philosophical surmises. Trusted in various other gods and their promises. Perhaps he once had hung his heart on all of these and discovered that they could not bear the weight. All we know now is that his life has come to this. He lives and will live in the company of the shepherd to whom he belongs now and forever. Then in the same breath, the psalmist says, I shall not want. The secret is this: I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is no Pollyanna worldview. It is simply the case for those who live under the shepherd's care. The psalmist next describes a few details in his life under the shepherd's care. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The shepherd sustains the psalmist's physical life. No doubt God uses near at hand means to sustain the life of God's creatures, including actual, albeit flawed, on the ground shepherds, rulers, doctors, congregations, just economic arrangements that are for all people, green pastures and still waters. But more, when the psalmist's inner strength has abated, the shepherd restores his soul. Meaning what? Meaning, in spite of the evidence at hand, the shepherd keeps him from despair, never leaves him alone, turns his eyes toward the horizon of hope. One of the verbs used by theologians to speak of God's providence, God's providing, is God's upholding or preserving. In these ways, the psalmist tells us that the shepherd keeps him in life. The second verb of God's providence is God's governing. The shepherd's governance is just this. He leads me, the psalmist says, in paths of righteousness. As Karl Barth describes this little book on the Apostles' Creed, he says, I am not left to my own waywardness and my own ideas, but I have God's commandments, to which I may hold in everything. The glad tidings of the gospel are first in the field, and as such, include the law. And some translations read, he leads me in right paths. Knowing the dangers and temptations of the wilderness, aware of the cliffs of fall, the shepherd in ancient Israel would toss stones, pebbles, to the right and to the left of the flock, gently leading the sheep away from the paths that tempted them to stray, and so to lose themselves among thieves and robbers. Under the shepherd's care, the psalmist is led on paths that turn him toward home, toward the love for which he was made. All of this said, this psalm has led many of us who know nothing of shepherds to romanticize them. According to Jeremiah, shepherds were kind of a motley crew, and they were a perfect metaphor for rulers who were as likely to destroy and scatter and abandon the people as they were to watch over them. Here I think of so many of you whose troubles and trials have led you to conclude that God is that sort of shepherd, the shepherd Jeremiah speaks of. The experience is one of being abandoned by an idea of God your experience contradicts. That idea is usually of a God who is able to keep mortals from harm and chooses not to do so. Is able to heal as Jesus healed the sick in Mark's 6th chapter and does not. This idea of God is not the God who meets words of the psalmist thus far, and assuming the psalmist's charmed life has given him the luxury of believing that he is living under a shepherd's care. But then the psalm takes a turn. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Life under the shepherd's care does not keep the psalmist from being pursued by evil or from the threat of death-dealing powers. Yet as he is pursued, the psalmist fears no evil because he is accompanied by the shepherd. For thou art with me. Say that. For thou art with me. That phrase stands in the exact center of the psalm, with 26 words before it and 26 words after it. Jim Lindbergh notes. Notice as well that the psalmist is no longer talking about the shepherd. Pursued by death, he is speaking in the second person to the shepherd. His comforter, whose rod and staff will ultimately do business with evil and death. And his host, whose table in the wilderness is set in a tent, where according to the laws of hospitality, the psalmist's pursuers cannot enter. That is to say, when all evidence points to everything simply, everything being against him, precisely there, the psalmist's relationship with the shepherd is intimate. Thou art with me. Writing in the midst of enormous pain and not knowing, as a tumor was snaking up his spine, the novelist Reynolds Price speaks of the experience of being accompanied. Price was not particularly religious, which is what draws me to him. But he was raised as a Presbyterian in North Carolina to live under the shepherd's care. If you have been in this church long enough, you have heard Price's words from this pulpit. He writes, I'd lie alone in my bed in the dark and sense the presence just to the right in my mind's eye of a patient listener behind the screen. I never asked myself who it was from the gallery of possible hearers. It, he, she, whatever, never spoke a sound, but only heard me out as I worked at discovering my minimal needs and my feasible hopes. I never asked it point blank for answers, not yet anyhow. Its reliable presence seemed only to say that I had somehow to build my life on radical uncertainty, knowing only that I was heard by something more than the loyal but powerless human beings around me. Christ does not discount foxhole conversions. He only observes in the foxholes of danger, disease, disillusionment, and the valley of the shadow of death. Taking prior pains to know the shepherd, perhaps in green pastures and beside still waters, tends to call out of those in extremis the cry, what's next, rather than why me? Well, next, and at the end, the psalmist finds himself not followed, as most translations say. The psalmist finds himself pursued, literally chased, by the goodness and mercy of God all the days of his life. Whereas the end of evil pursuers is the death of the pursued, the end of God's pursuit and the destiny of the psalmist's life is the eternity and love that God is. Karl Barth wrote that faith is the gift of a which you become free to hear the word of grace God has spoken in Jesus Christ in such a way that in spite of all that contradicts it, you may once for all exclusively and entirely hold to God's promise and guidance. Given another week filled with racism and injustice and gun violence and terrorism, when the headlines and the heartaches of the world contradict the word of grace God has spoken in Jesus Christ, the word we nevertheless have for the world is this: there is a shepherd to whom you belong. In the fullness of time and at the center of your life, with 26 lines before and 26 lines ahead, the shepherd is with you. Suspend disbelief. Quiet your doubts. Picture yourself as the vulnerable child of God that you are. Then write these words on your heart, for they hold in solution the gift of a meeting with the shepherd, under whose care you may live all the days of your life, and in whose house you are destined to dwell forever. Thanks be to God.